Lord, we thank you for this new day. We thank you for your presence in it. And we thank you that we can take time this week of all weeks to reflect together on your life and your word. And Lord, yesterday as we remembered Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, Lord, today and this coming week, we remember and reflect on the last few days of your life here on earth before your crucifixion. And Lord, as we reflect, we pray that your Holy Spirit will teach us something new, will speak to us about our life and our relationship with you and our walk with you. So Holy Spirit, we pray, speak to us even now through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So Luke chapter 19, verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Then he entered the temple area, began driving out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple. But the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. Janice, would you like to read it again for us?
Yeah. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple. But the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words.
No wonder when the Bible translators were translating the New Testament, they got to this passage and they called it, they called what we call Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. There was noise and excitement, joy, adulation and praise. The children were having a great time. Everyone, the whole city apparently, was caught up with the thrill of messianic symbolism, with Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. But in the context of all this adulation, Luke captures two events: Jesus weeping over Jerusalem and cleansing the temple. I don't know how many of you have actually visited Jerusalem and have walked this path from Bethany to Jerusalem. But as you get to the brow of the hill with Bethany, having come from Bethany, you get to the brow of the hill, you're standing on the side of the Mount of Olives with the Kidron Valley between you and the city. And as you look at the city, your breath is taken away. The view inspires awe and wonder. And equally in the days of Jesus, your breath would have been taken away by the grandeur and scale and beauty and majesty of the city and the temple. Here was the center of their faith, the city of the great king. And in the midst of it was the temple, the house of God, the place that God had chosen for his earthly dwelling. The place where they remembered God's deeds and where they practiced their faith and brought their sacrifices and received atonement for their sins. Psalm 137 says, "How can we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand cease to function. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not exalt Jerusalem as my greatest joy." But on this occasion, even with the sound of singing and exaltation ringing in his ears, Jesus lamented and wept over Jerusalem. Some suggest that at this point, Jesus was overcome with emotion about what was just about to happen to him. But Jesus' tears were not for himself. And then on to the temple itself. This would have not, of course, been the first time that Jesus had seen the temple market. But on this occasion, driven by his understanding that the moment of salvation had arrived, he drove out the traders and the money changers who were profiteering from the people's practice of their religion. What Jesus lamented over and what he railed against was hollow piety and empty religion. His anger was not aimed at those who genuinely sought a relationship with God. And be encouraged, if you want, by looking at the little snapshot a few verses on in Luke 22, verse 1, of the story of the widow's offering to understand pure religion. Jesus's anger was aimed at those who had corrupted the relationship with a loving God and turned religion into rules and regulations. It was empty religion that put Jesus on trial, and it was empty religion that eventually hung him on the cross. In Matthew 23, whilst teaching in the temple, Jesus confronts the religious leaders directly. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." God hates empty religion because it robs us of the joy and freedom of a loving relationship with God, and because it obscures for others what a genuine relationship with God looks like. So today, let's thank God that Jesus came to restore true relationship with God. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and to purify us from all traces of ritualism or legalism that we may have adopted in our relationship with him. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to also purify our church and to restore to us the joy and freedom of a truly loving relationship with God. And let's pray for our friends and families and neighbours, that they will see in us the joy of a truly loving relationship with the truly living God.